Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me that you killed him.
No, I am your father.
No!
Come with me, Luke. As father and son, we can rule the universe. It is your destiny.
Ben, why didn't you tell me?
Come with me, son. It is your destiny. 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 What is your destiny? Maybe this morning you're confused as to what is your destiny. Maybe you feel oppressed by things that have been happening at school or at work. Maybe you're like Will and myself, that we're going through some midlife crisis, you know? And if I'm honest with you, I'm about to approach 50, and sometimes I still wonder, am I doing the right thing? Am I making my life count? Is it worth it? Or am I like a square that's trying to fit into a circle? What is my purpose? What is my destiny? And do I really matter to God? Maybe we can think corporately and as a church, do we really matter to God? I mean, we don't even have a senior pastor. Where are we going? What is our purpose? What is our destiny? And this morning, we're going to be starting a series on Exodus. And I believe one of the main themes of the book of Exodus can be that we have been delivered for a destiny. So this morning, we are going to be looking at the first two chapters. We're going to do a broad kind of overview of the first two chapters. But we want to ask the question, do I really matter to God? Do we really matter to God? How can we discover where God wants me to go? Where God wants us to go. And I want us to be encouraged this morning that yes, God does have a purpose for your life, and He does have a purpose for our lives. So turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapters 1 and 2. We'll be starting off in verse 1. And as we approach Exodus, in verse 1, we see that there's a connection to the past. There's a connection to Genesis. These are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt. And then in verses 3 and 4, then he names all those names. So we're drawing upon our lore. We're drawing upon our cultural history. We're drawing upon the past, the connection to the patriarchs, to the sons of Jacob, to the sons of Israel. Now, actually, in the original Hebrew, the title of this book is not Exodus. It's actually those first two words here in verse 1, these names. So these names, we get Exodus from the Greek translation of the original Hebrew scriptures, which is the Septuagint. It's Exodus or something like that, which is because the Greek translators wanted to draw upon the main event of the book of Exodus, which is Exodus. But in the original Hebrew, it's these names. And so we have a connection to the past. And then looking in verse 5, we see that there were 70 people who moved into Egypt from Genesis. And then in verse 6, Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation. So the old guard, the patriarchs, the Benjamin Franklins, if you will, the George Washingtons and Thomas Jeffersons have an Sun Yat-sens, okay? We got to try to be culturally relevant. Yeah? The Sun Yat-sens and the Chiang Kai. Okay, we're not going to get too political. Chiang Kai-shek, Mao Zedong, I don't know, China-Taiwan debate here, okay? These guys have all passed on, okay? And but through the transition, through the generations, God is still faithful. God is still blessing. Look at verse 7. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong so that the land was filled with them. You know, that sounds a lot like, what does that sound a lot like? Genesis 1:28. God's original mandate, his original command was to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Genesis 1:28. Praise the Lord. The Israelites, through the generations, there's 400 years between Joseph and Moses, they were reviewing the sermon every week. They were going back and doing sermon discussion questions. I mean, they were meeting in Agape and Focus and Cornerstone, and they were reviewing the Bible, and God was faithful because they reviewed the mandate, the covenant, and God was blessing them. He was blessing them that very day. So, as we seek to unveil what is our destiny, one of the first things we can note is that God provides and protects through the transitions. And if we can have the slides up there, God provides and protects through transition. And so expect God to bless today. Expect God to bless today. You know, sometimes we get into a trap. We say, oh, you know, back in the good old days, you know, God was really moving. It was really good back there at WHCC, you know, or, you know, it was really good back there in Arizona. Right, Brother Will? Really good in Arizona, you know, or Minnesota, huh? Minnesota, I mean, they really know how to do it over there. You know, and we think that, oh, that it was good on the mission field, right? I mean, it was good in Tianmu. I mean, God was really blessing. But no, God blesses today, right here and now. So as we seek to discover our destiny, expect God to bless today. Expect God to bless today. Now, moving on, in verse 8, enter the evil emperor. Enter the evil emperor. Verse 8, now there arose a new king. The conflict, here it comes, over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, behold, the people of Israel are too many, too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. There's that word again, multiply. And then turn against us. Verse 11, therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities. Verse 12, but the more they oppressed, the more they multiplied. There's that word again. And the more they spread abroad, fulfilling that mandate, eh? And the Egyptians loathed them, hated them, were in dread of the people of Israel. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel, verse 13, work as slaves and made their lives bitter, hunku, right? With hard service in mortar and brick and in all the kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. God protects and provides through the generations, through the transitions. God also provides and protects through oppression. And Pharaoh's plan was to kind of work them to death, right? To ethnic cleanse, right? He thought if he worked them hard enough that their population will decrease. But his plan backfired. The more that he worked them, the more they multiplied. Like bunnies, like rabbits. And they spread all throughout. They continue to fulfill their mandate. So God protects and provides through oppression. But it gets worse. It was bad. But bad got worse. Verse 15. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of them named Shipra and the other Puah. By the way, if you're looking for some good names to name your daughters, I recommend these two. Okay? I don't know why no one named their children Shipra and Puah, but good names, okay? Verse 16. When you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt interrogated them, called the midwives, said to them, why have you done this and let the male children live? The midwives said to the Pharaoh, and they gave an answer, an excuse. And then in verse 20, their obedience resulted in blessing. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. Okay, so Pharaoh says, oh, my plan didn't work. Well, we're going to ratchet it up. We're going to kill babies, infanticide, right when they come out. Well, that didn't work. So Pharaoh ratchets it up a notch more. He says, okay, you don't kill them when they come out. Every male, we're going to throw them into the river. So, but through it all, God was protecting. He was blessing the Israelites through the obedience of the midwives, and they continued to grow and increase and multiply and get stronger. So God not only protects and provides through oppression, but God protects and provides through escalation. The bad got worse. And therefore, let us fear God and obey God and not man. How can we discover and fulfill the destiny for us, for you? Let us fear God, obey God, and not man. And I praise God that we are a people who speak life and promote life in a culture that will oppose us and promote death. I praise God that women have kept their babies, even if it was an unplanned or an unwanted pregnancy, and they promoted life, even if there was opposition from the world system and the current mindset of the culture. Even if the highest court in the Egyptian, even if the supreme Egyptian court, Pharaoh himself said, kill those babies. No, the midwife stood for what they knew was from God. And they said, we will not obey the highest court in the land. We will fear God. We will obey God. And so praise God for those of us who promote life. And in a few weeks, we will have the opportunity to participate in the baby bottle bonanzas to continue to promote life. And so let us all participate. But not only for physical life, but for eternal life. I want to encourage us again to promote life, to promote eternal life, even if you face opposition or rejection. You know, we live in a culture that says, oh, you're intolerant if you say that Jesus is the only way, that he died and rose again, and that what makes him the only way. But let us continue to promote life and to proclaim, even if we face rejection and opposition. So I forgot to bring my tracks, but I have my English tracks, and I have Chinese tracks, and I have Vietnamese tracks, and Hindi, and all kinds of language tracks. And would you come find me after the service and pick up a track and reach out to promote eternal life? Maybe hand out a track to one person this week. You think you could do that? Or think of three people, an English speaker, a Chinese speaker, and a non-English or Chinese speaker, and reach out to them. And you might get rejected. Just this last week, I was eating at the favorite Vietnamese restaurant for us here at Katy Christian Community Church, Pho Saigon. Okay, gave them a little free advertisement there. And, you know, I learned how to say thank you in Vietnamese. We better start practicing because, you know, Phuong, she's coming here. They're planning to go to Vietnam. So we need to start reaching out to our Vietnamese community. And said, you know, at the end when she finished helping us out a little bit, said thank you in Vietnamese. I forgot it already, but was able to hand her a Vietnamese tract. I don't know if she's going to read it or not, but we need to keep promoting life. And another Vietnamese at the eyeglass shop, he said, no, thanks, okay? So they will oppose. You're not always going to bat 1,000 or 100, but it's okay. So let us fear God and not fear man. Now, moving on, in chapter 2, we see that the Lord protected his special leader, Moses. And you know the story. But we see God's sovereign hand in providing and protecting. In chapter 2, man from the house of Levi went, took his wife, a Levite woman. The woman conceived. That is a blessed word in the Old Testament, okay? Conceive, begat, okay? And bore a son. There's that word, bore a son, blessing, okay? She saw that he was a fine child, hid him for 3 months, okay? God is using Moses, the mama, to protect him, right? Sovereignly using the mom. When she could hide him no longer, verse 3, she took, you know the story, made a basket for him, put the child in it, placed it in the reeds by the bank of the river. The women are still protecting. Look, verse 4, bring in sister. Jejie, his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. And then, look, we're going to bring in some more women. How about the daughter of Pharaoh? The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And more women. How about Pharaoh's daughter's female servants? While her young women walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds, sent her servant woman. She took it. You know the story. She opened it. She saw the child. Bold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him. Okay, now this is where everybody, we have to say, aww. Can you do that? I've learned to do that to connect more, you know, my emotional side. You know, can you try that? Aww. Aww. See, that's what happened. Pharaoh's daughter saw baby Moses and she went, aww. Okay. And this is one of the Hebrews' children. Look how God is sovereignly protecting. Then his sister, bring back in sister, said Pharaoh's daughter. Go call a nurse, Hebrew women. It just so happens to be Moses' mom, right? We all know the story. And verse 8, Pharaoh's daughter did that. Go. She went. Verse 9, take the child. And not only do I get to breastfeed my own son, but I get paid for it. Isn't that great? Boy, I'm sure my wife would have loved to earn wages for breastfeeding our 4 children. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So, verse 10, when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. So praise God. God protected Moses as a child, as an infant. But then we're going to fast forward 40 years later, okay? Moses has grown up. He got the Harvard education. He got the MIT education. He got the best training, okay? And then 40 years later, you know the story. Moses, he grew up, verse 11, went out to his people, looked on their burdens. He saw the Egyptian beating his people. He looked this way, that, seeing no one. He struck down the Egyptian, hit him in the sand. Now, we don't affirm what Moses did here necessarily, but verse 13, when he went out the next day, behold, 2 Hebrews were struggling together. He said to the man in the wrong, why do you strike your companion? He answered, who made you a prince and a judge over us? You mean to kill me just like you killed the Egyptian? Moses was afraid. And then, verse 15, when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian. And then he sat by a well. So, God is still protecting Moses as an infant. But then 40 years later, he's protecting him. Using Moses himself. Moses had to run, right? That's Sun Tzu's first principle in the art of war, right? You know what the first principle of the art of war is? Run, okay? That's the first principle. It's going to Sun Tzu, right, of the art of war. Run, and so God is using run here to protect Moses, but he provides. He's providing not only as an infant, but as a 40-year-old, verse 16, we see the Lord protecting and providing Moses still. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flocks. And then, I mean, Moses, he must have liked those numbers, you know, 1 on 7. Okay, that's a good ratio. Guys, don't go to engineering school. You're not going to get that ratio there, right? Okay, ladies, if you want to get the MRS degree, go to engineering school. Don't go to seminary, guys, right? They're going to get the wrong ratio there. But women, if you want to, you know, get the MRS degree, go ahead, go to seminary. But Moses, he chose the right major, okay? Shepherding, he goes, and the well, that's kind of the meat market back in the Old Testament times, okay? That's where you meet your spouse. You hang out at the well, okay? And so he does it, and the Lord blesses him because Moses gets to stand up and say, hey, back off, you shepherds. I'm going to protect these seven shepherdesses. And that's what he does. He shows, flexes his muscles. And then the father-in-law hears about it. A future father-in-law says, hey, bring this guy over for dinner. He brings him over for dinner. Moses sticks around. He says, I'm going to give you my daughter, Zipporah. And then not only that, we bless. We're going to do it again. Okay. What do we say? Verse 22, gave birth to a son. That's a blessing in the Old Testament. Begat, okay? And he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. And so, friends, the Lord protects and provides through transition, oppression, and escalation. And God protects and provides so we might serve and lead others. He protects as we seek to know what is my destiny, what is our destiny. Know that the Lord delivers, the Lord saves, the Lord provides, and the Lord protects so that we might serve others. And so, let us forsake the comforts of this world. Let us forsake the comforts of this world. You know, Moses, he had it made. I mean, Moses had it made. He was in the king's court. I mean, he had it better than, you know, Chelsea Clinton could have had it back when her dad was the president. He had it better than, you know, Ivanka. I'm trying to be fair here, okay? Got to do the Democrat and the Republican. Ivanka, you know, he had it better than those guys or just as good. And yet he said, no, God has called me to serve and be with the people of God. I'm willing to forsake all of this to align myself with the people of God and to serve the God of Israel. And so he left it all. And so we too, friends, as we seek to discover and fulfill our destiny, we must be willing to forsake the comforts of this world. It can be pretty easy here in Katy. And I myself, you know, I mean, I got my nice, you guys been to my mansion yet? I got a mansion, okay? Come on over to my mansion anytime. I could just ride out, Cadillac out, right? Coast, cruise control, you know, do the pastor thing, you know, bring in my wonderful salary that I make, you know, beef up my IRAs, you know, do a couple of children's things here, put them in some sports and put them into some music, you know, and do the whole thing, do the whole game, and just, you know, Cadillac out. That's what Cadillac, that means smooth and easy, smooth and easy. But God is calling us to for something greater, for something bigger. And he might keep us in our current situation and ask us just to forsake comfort, get out of our comfort zone in our current situation, just like Brian and Stacy, as we saw in the Simplify video, that they, you know, she's an actuarial, and I still don't quite understand what an actuarial is. Maybe some of you do. He's a CPA. So they got double income, right? They do have two kids. So they can't be dink, right? Double income, no kids, okay? Dink. But they have chosen to live a simple life, to forsake comfort. They got rid of their cable. They got rid of their home phone line. Of course, no one has a home phone line nowadays anyway. But they simplified, they shaved, they live on a fixed income, and they give money away. to people who have needs. If you watch the video, you can see him eating a macaroni dinner, okay? So God may call you just right where you are. Stay where you are. Like Joseph, stay the prime minister of Egypt. But forsake those comforts right where you are. Or God may call you to completely leave it. You know, completely leave your position like Moses. Resign from being the prime minister. And just like Joy, God called her, and she's not working in her current job anymore. And she's in the Middle East and serving because she believes that the Lord has called her to serve and lead in this way, forsaking the comforts of this world. So God protects and provides so we might serve, lead others, forsake the comforts of this world. And finally, in verses 23 to 25, during those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. Now watch this in verse 24. Look at the verbs of what God does. We only see verbs for God one other time, I think, in these first two chapters. But here we're going to see four of them. Look at them. Verse 24. God heard their groaning. Number two, and God remembered his covenant with Jacob, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Verse 25, God saw the people of Israel. And God, number four, knew. God hears, remembers, sees, knows. And so as we seek to discover and fulfill our destiny, let us cry out to him. Cry out to him. And so it might be a cry with the current oppression in your life. Maybe that schoolwork is too hard. Maybe that workload is too hard. Maybe that spouse is too hard. Maybe that parent is too hard. Maybe that child is too hard. And we cry out to God, Lord, help me with my oppression, my Egyptian oppression. And we just cry out to the Lord. Or it might be as we seek to fulfill that destiny and we're having a hard time promoting life. Lord, give me the courage, give me the boldness to reach out to my friends. Or it might be asking God and crying out to him as a church and as individuals, saying, Lord, show me my destiny. Am I truly fulfilling what you want me to do? And friends, a friend shared with me, and I think I've shared this with you before, that when he was in college, he started fasting and praying once a week for God's direction, for God's plan, for God's purpose in his life. And he started doing that once a week in college. And I was so impressed with that. I started to do that as a college student and just praying and seeking the Lord. And it's a practice that I've tried to continue all these years, just continually asking, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? Where is it you would have me to go? And so I would encourage you and challenge you to cry out to God as we seek to discover and fulfill our destiny. So friends, today we have seen that God wants to use us. We matter to God. He protects. He provides because He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a destiny for us. He has a destiny for you. He protects and provides through transition. So let us expect him to work today. He protects through oppression and escalation. So let us fear God and obey God and not man. He protects and provides so that we might serve and lead others. So let us forsake the comforts of this world. And God hears, he sees, he knows, he remembers. So let us cry out to him. It was almost 25 years ago that on June 8th, 1992, and it was actually the day before, June 7th, 1992, that in the middle of my pastoral internship, after my first year in seminary, I was sitting or standing in my pastor's office at Dallas Chinese Bible Church, Pastor Ed, and And we decided right there at that moment that I would not go on the Dallas area Chinese church summer youth camp. And what a mysterious decision that was. But the very next day, June 8th, 1992, there was a caravan of five cars and vans that were heading up to the summer youth retreat. And the third car in that van was hit by a cement truck, the very van that I was supposed to be riding shotgun on. The driver, Betty Lim, she died on impact. Four other teens, high school teens, also died. And 11 were saved. All the people who died were believers in the Lord. Those who had not yet trusted in Christ survived. And yet I was supposed to be right there in that shotgun seat. Interestingly, the only person who walked away from that van was the person who was sitting in that shotgun seat. Everyone else was unconscious and couldn't escape. And the other funny thing was that all five of those cars, the last names were the same of the driver and the shotgun seat person. It was Lee and Lee, and it was Wong and Wong, and it was Wu and Wu, and it was Chan and Chan. And in my third van, it was supposed to be Lim and Lim. But the day before, the pastor and I just said, "You're not going." And I don't know why the Lord decided to take those five people home to glory. And he left me here. But I do know this, that he left me here because he has a purpose for me. And he wants me to keep serving him as long as I'm here on this present earth. Now, you may not have a dramatic story like this, but if we're all honest, we know that the Lord gives us life each day and hasn't taken us home because he also has a purpose for you, and he also has a purpose for us. And what is that destiny? What is that purpose? I'm not sure. But I know it goes beyond than just enjoying the comforts of this life. So, expect God to work today. Fear God and not man. Forsake the comforts of this world and cry out to him. Discover your destiny. Discover our destiny. Fulfill your destiny. Lord, to live is Christ, to die is to gain. And if I am to live on in the flesh, I do not know which to choose. To depart and be with Christ is very much better, yet to remain on the flesh is more necessary for your sake. So, Father, until you take us home to glory, help us to live a life of purpose, of destiny. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Pastor White. Let's all stand together.